by your word and your spirit, Father. So that everything that is within us, O God, will bless your name. So that everything that is within us, O God, will declare that you are our God. You are everything to us, O Lord. And we pray for that witness to come alive in us, so that we will meaningfully express our lives unto the glory of your name. Holy Spirit, we commit this time into your hands. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will minister the treasures of the Lord Jesus Christ into us, Father, through blood and water, by the Spirit of Christ. Let everything that is within us bless your holy name. We ask you, O God, for this revelation to come forth so that a new people will rise on the earth, O God, to stand, O God, as a bride sanctified for the marriage of the Lamb. We pray for such a revelation to sweep your church, O God, and to bring forth, O God, a new bride, a bride, O Lord, for the Lamb, Father. We pray for the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ to express this fulfillment, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 10. We are on the subject of the inward witness. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Today I'd like to bring some clarification on the inward witness. Whenever we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever his reality comes into us, there is a witness that comes inside of us. There is a witness that is reinforced within us. The next part of that verse says that the one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. There's not only a witness within us, there's also a witness that is coming from God into us. That witness that God brings into us, we are called forth to receive. The Holy Spirit brings that witness of God into us. And that witness God wants to bring into our lives so that we will grow, so that our witness inside will grow. God will do everything in your life according to the witness that is within us. Now, faith is a substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. The evidence is a witness within you. The evidence has substance. That substance is the substance of the faith that you have. That substance forms within you, right? That substance comes according to the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word for that word substance is the Greek word hypostasis. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. And we are looking at the King James Bible for this verse, and it says that faith is a substance of what we hope for, all right? And the word for substance there is the Greek word hypostasis. And we want to spend some time talking about that word hypostasis, because it is a very important word. It is an important word because it expresses a witness into us. And we need to understand where that witness is coming from. All right? So faith brings the witness, the substance, the evidence of the unseen into us. We cannot see God with our naked eyes, but we can see God according to the evidence that is built into us by the substance that is received within us. Where does that substance come from? Where does that substance come from? All right, let's turn to John chapter 1 verse 16, a very familiar passage, and we will keep repeating these verses over and over again so that a construct of the word is fashioned into each one of us. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received, right? Of his fullness we have all received. That fullness that comes to us manifests into us as an evidence, right? An evidence. Look at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Right? Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. There is a realization that comes inside of us, and that realization produces an evidence. So God expects you to nurture that witness inside of you. That witness inside of you is to bear testimony of all that God is doing to you, doing inside of you, what God means to bring forth from your life. You can measure the evidence of your witness. You can check it. All right? You can check it. All right? You know what is inside of you. If you monitor what comes out of you, you will be able to check what is coming forth. That witness is meant to be fashioned in the fullness of Christ Jesus. Can you catch that? All right? Last week we said something very important. We said that Jesus Christ comes to us in the witness of the blood and the water. Remember that? 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. Let's look at that. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. This is Him. This is a person. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes to you by the water and the blood. Now, faith is the medium by which we receive. All right? And what is being received becomes substance inside of us. All right? We're using a mixture of different Greek words to try and bring forth a mystery. The underlining Greek word is hypostasis, substance. You need to understand that. That substance is meant to fashion your witness. And that substance is meant to become the evidence of the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Can you catch it? And Jesus comes to you and me through the blood and the water. Right? And the blood and the water bring the evidence of the Lord Jesus into us. Are you with me? Jesus Christ. This is Him. Jesus Christ who comes to us by the blood and the water. And the Spirit bears truth to it. Bears witness to this. All right? It is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus Christ alive to us. Right? Jesus said so Himself. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and He will give it to you. Right? He will reveal it to you. He will explain it to you. He will unveil it within you. Correct? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Okay? So we need to catch that meaning and understand that this substance is of His person. We can look at it another way, all right? We can look at it by looking at the Greek word hypostasis. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and I'm going to also be comparing it with the New King James Version. And we are going to look at a certain word. All right, it's going to be the word hypostasis. Let me read the first two lines. And He is the radiance of His glory. That is, Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of the Father's nature, His nature. And upholds all things by the word of His power. Now the word His nature there, or His person in the New King James Version, is the Greek word hypostasis. Is the Greek word hypostasis. So His nature is represented by the Greek word hypostasis. His person is also represented by the Greek word hypostasis. And hypostasis becomes the substance of the evidence inside of us. There is a transmission. All right? So what is of His person and His nature comes inside of us to fashion our witness. And because He is the truth, the evidence of Him that is of His substance will become the truth inside of you. Are you with me? And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Can you catch the revelation? Right? So the key to growing in your Christian faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you keep receiving of Him, as long as He keeps growing inside of you, you will find that you are being transformed and changed. The truth will set you free. You will change. You will automatically change. Receive anything of Jesus. Receive Him as He really is, in any type and any form of revelation that God brings into you, and you will change because of that revelation. You will change because of that revelation. And this is what we must focus our heart on, seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. The Baptist said, behold the Lamb. Why did the great prophet say, behold the Lamb? Because the Lamb is meant to become a lamp within you. All right? Because the Lamb is meant to become a lamp within you. All right? Because the Lamb is meant to become a lamp within you. You are meant to carry His radiance. That's why we are called the lights of the world, isn't it? Jesus is the light of the world, and we are called to be lights. That light is the light of His radiance. Where does the radiance come from? From the substance of His person and His nature. The person whom you have received in your heart is going to radiate everything that you do in word and in deed. Can you catch it? It's a supernatural transformation. The Bible also calls that the bright morning star. The revelation, the prophetic word that will come forth into you will shine as the star, right? In fact, you are to be given the morning star. The morning star describes Jesus peculiarly open to you personally. The revelation of the Father of His Son into you personally is called the morning star. All right? So nurture this inward witness, because in that inward witness is meant to rise the morning star, God's blessings in your life. When God took Father Abraham out and He said, look at the stars, and He said, behold, your generations will be like the stars. He was not simply saying something. All right? He was talking about something awesome to come forth. So in the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus will give us the morning star. That morning star is an expression of the substance of the person and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He has become to you, how you have received Him. And how you have received Him fashions everything that you become. So this is the revelation of the inward witness that we want to talk about, and we want to develop this in a great deal of detail, because if you're going to move in the Spirit, this is where you're going to move from. If your inward witness comes alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you cannot possibly go wrong when you move in the Spirit. Are you with me? Because He is the truth, because He is the way, because He is the door. Are you with me? You can go in and out and find pasture. Do you remember those words? I am the door, and you can go in and out and find pasture. Are you with me? Earlier this evening we sang the song Jehovah Jireh. When that name was given, what did God tell? What was the revelation that Abraham received? On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. That's the meaning of Jehovah Jireh. How is the mount of the Lord open to us? Through this witness that God wants to bring into us. We celebrate that witness when we celebrate Holy Communion. That's the Passover. The Passover that lifts us into the kingdom of God, into the mount of the Lord, where we can live, move, and have our being by the name of the Lord our God. Can you catch that? I'm going too fast. Hold on. Acts chapter 17. Let's turn to that. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. And the Apostle Paul declares something that is very awesome. It says that in Him we live and move and exist. In the New International Version it says, we live, we move, and have our being. I like that. Have our being. In whom? In Him, who is our God. Are you with me? That's what the Mount of the Lord is all about. When God opens your inward witness, He wants you to live, move, and have your being in Him. Brethren, when you move by the Spirit, you live, move, and have your being in Him. You do not just simply move in a spirit realm. You move in the Holy Spirit. You move in the Spirit of Yahweh. You move, you in Him, you live, move, and have your being. Catch the picture. In Him, you live, move, and have your being. When you move by the Spirit, you are in Christ Jesus. Have your being. You have your being. That means everything inside of you is an expression of who God is to you. That is what it means to move by the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to move by the Spirit. Are you with me? So open your heart and see the greatness of God, and understand that what God wants to bring into your life is awesome. He's talking about you and me becoming sons of God. He's talking about you and me standing before Him and ministering in His name. Catch the prophetic picture that God wants you to realize through the witness that is inside of you. That witness, you need to nurture it. That witness is a blessed blessing. Because in that witness, you come to know God. In that witness, you come to see God. In that witness, you come to love God. In that witness, you come to cling to God. In that witness, you come to function by God. Listen very carefully. Function by God, function in God, function through God. In that witness, you can live. In that witness, you can move. In that witness, you can have your being in Him all of the time. That's why the inward witness is an awesome revelation. It's an awesome revelation because it is the expression and fulfillment of everything God wants to bless you with. Can you catch that? That inward witness is God's greatest gift to you. Because in that inward witness, He brings alive to you the reality in which you will come to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you realize that that is the witness? That is the fulfillment of the law. That is also the fulfillment of the prophets. Every blessing that God can possibly give will be expressed in those terms. Right? Whether it is mountains being moved, whatever. Right? Whatever treasure God gives you, it is going to come alive in you in such a way that you will come to love Him. Right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. How can such a reality come inside of us? Who had such a reality? Only Jesus Christ. So this tells you something. The testimony that Jesus had in Himself is meant to be translated into your witness and to my witness. And that witness is meant to consume your heart, your soul, your mind, and become your strength. Can you catch that? Become your strength. And you can, in Him, you can live, move, and have your being. Isn't it exciting? Right? To be able to live by God, to be able to function by God. No more bound by this fleshly body that binds us in so many awful ways, isn't it? That's why in the Bible it says, when you actually know the Word of God, you will tremble at the Lord your God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 66. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. Notice that the Lord who says, you can't build anything for me, then look, says that I will look to this one. He's looking to individuals, right? But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Where do you tremble at his word? From inside of you, isn't it? Your inward witness trembles at his word. Now, what kind of revelation of the word will cause you to tremble? Now, the word tremble there is not tremble in fright, okay? It is tremble in awe. You're awe-stricken by the greatness of the Lord your God. Are you with me? Contriteness of spirit leads to you trembling at the realities of the Lord your God. Are you with me? So that's how powerful is the witness. And who brings that witness into you? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. All right? And this witness is amazing because you can do all kinds of things in this witness. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will begin to understand that. This witness was so awesome and powerful to him that when the Holy Spirit left him, he cried out. Right? You don't record in the Bible that when they nailed him, he screamed. He didn't scream when they nailed him. But when the Holy Spirit left him, when his inward witness lost its source of life, then he cried. It was painful to him. Why? Because that was how he lived. It was from there that he found his life. He found meaning to his life. That was where the man Jesus lived by. And he cried out. He said, My Father, why have you left me like this? But it had to be done. He had to come forth with the witness that would choose God even in death. Are you with me? Because if he did not choose God even in death, we could not have been saved. So when he commits his spirit into the hands of the Lord, what is he committing? The spirit that would become the witness inside of us. Are you with me? The spirit that is the truth, the spirit of truth, the anointing of the truth that he consecrated for us. And that would form the witness that is the spirit within us. Are you with me? And that spirit will come forth as wisdom, understanding, knowledge, the fear of the Lord, truth, strength, counsel. All right, and all the many facets that are found in these big words. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all very, very big words. All right, you can write entire books on each one of those words. All right, and each one of those words has meanings. Those meanings we illustrate typically in principles. But the principle has to find its meaning and context in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is His Spirit. So God gives us that Spirit to enable us to do all things through Him. You are not supposed to rise as a Christian in your strength. You are supposed to be a Christian in the strength of the Lord. You got to catch this picture, brethren. And once you catch that picture, being a Christian is very exciting, because you are no longer left with trying to struggle to reach things that you yourself cannot achieve. Are you with me? The Spirit is of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of wisdom. What does the Spirit of wisdom give you? It builds you. The Spirit of knowledge, what does the Spirit of knowledge give you? The treasures that God has got for you, the promises, the faith realities that will establish the evidence of God inside of you. What is understanding? Knowing God. That's how the Bible defines understanding, knowing God. The counsels of God, that means the voice of the Lord is open to you all the time. That doesn't mean you keep hearing voices every time you go outside and go inside. That's not what it means. What it means is that the life of the Lord, the reality of God, the words of God are alive inside of you. His counsels are continuously being built into you. Your witness is alive to His thoughts all the time. You are conscious of Him. That is His counsel. Strength. You have strength. You have strength to do things that you would have thought as being impossible. You have strength to cling to God and to do things in God. Are you with me? All things. All things. This is what Adam and Eve lost. God wanted to teach them. They said, we've got some ideas of our own. Right? And those ideas of their own came death. Now God is turning it around and He says, I am the true vine. You are my branches. If you look at the vine and the branch draws everything from the vine. If you look at the fruit of the vine, of the branch of the vine, the fruit is entirely from the stem, isn't it? Can you catch it? Entirely. The branch cannot produce anything that is not of the vine. Can you see that? That is the fruit. That's the picture. Jesus said, I am the true vine, you are the branches. But if you keep looking at it and saying, how am I going to achieve it? You're looking at the wrong way. You need to see what God has given to you. This is His promise. He will make the true vine come alive inside of you, and He will make you a branch. You just simply have to receive Jesus. That's all. It is not some religious mumbo jumbo. Receive Jesus and you will be changed, because the substance that comes into you is of Him. The substance is of Him. If the substance is of Him, what's the problem about changing? See that? If you look at your life, all the supernatural changes, the really great changes, have all come by themselves. They've come by grace. The hard things are the ones you and I are still trying to do on our own strength. The hard things are all the things we have got a whole catalog of. I should be doing this, I should be doing that, and I should be doing this. I'm not saying don't do anything, but I'm saying do all things by receiving from the Lord. When you do something, make sure God is alive in it. Then it's meaningful. Then whatever you do has got meaning, because God is alive in it. But if you're doing something out of your own strength, of what use is it? We have lived long enough in the world to see where that takes us, isn't it? Right? We have studied hard. Some of us have achieved great things in the world. We all know it all comes to an end somewhere along the line. You cannot keep it going. It can only exist from point A to point B. After point B, it just drops dead. So what use is that pathway? Why do we want to strive in that pathway? It's a useless pathway. It is a meaningless pathway. But the pathway Jesus draws is a pathway that never ends. It's a pathway that grows and grows and grows. It is the way. It is the way. And the way is forever. And every treasure that God has for your life is there. You have to receive it. The way starts from inside of you. The way opens according to what you can see from inside of you. The inward witness is an awesome treasure that God has given to you. That's why it said that the tablets of the stone that Moses received were written upon by the finger of God. And the stones themselves were the work of God. Can you catch it? Now that is what your inward witness is meant to be. That is what it means to be in blood covenant with God. The blood covenant becomes a testimony. How did they destroy Satan? By the blood and by the testimony. What does the blood represent? The covenant. Your relationship with the Lord and how that relationship is described in God's word made alive inside of you. When God's word becomes alive in you, it is written in blood. And out of that will come forth a testimony. And that testimony Satan cannot stand before. Because every time that testimony comes forth, his strongholds are being shaken. And that's the power of the church. And if the entire Christian church can see that covenant and that testimony coming forth from within them, just by that one fact, we can destroy the strongholds of the enemy. Because when we pray, the heavens will shake. Because it is the blood of the Lamb that will speak from within us. When the blood of the Lamb speaks from within us, the heavens will shake. Because in that blood, Jesus Christ led all of those heavenly powers into captivity. It is written in the Word of God. Now, if that witness of the blood was to speak from what you and I are saying, how they will tremble. And there was war in the heavens, right? When was it that Satan was thrown down? I think that's when the bride was raptured. When the witness within them came alive so strong, like Enoch's witness, and they were taken. And in that moment, Satan was thrown down because he was finished. That's an opinion. All right? But I think it's there. That witness is what we need to cultivate, because that witness is the testimony. That witness brings the name of God. That's what you got to catch. Why do those strongholds tremble? Because of the name of God. Because of the name of God alive from within us. How? Through the blood of Jesus. See, if it was not for the blood, it would be impossible. But because of the blood, it is possible. Can you catch that? Because of the blood, everything is possible. Because of the blood, we can go into the Holy of Holies. We can stand before God our Father. Because of the blood. Now, if the blood was over our witness can rise into the heavenly places. We can be seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. Catch it? It is there. It is there. It's just a question of understanding it. This is what Jesus Christ has given to us. And if we can catch that, everything in our life will be transfigured. Catch it? Transfigured. Transfigured. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow of favoritism, isn't it? James 1, 17 and 18. Right? Transfigured. And we become lights. And our Father is the Father of light. Whose light is it? The light of Jesus Christ alive within us. Can you catch it? When you pray in tongues, pray in the consciousness of Jesus and see what the tongues do. Why do you keep looking at yourself, your spirit, always us, us, us? What is so wonderful about us? Look at the Lord. You are to be fashioned in His image. When you see Him, you can see yourself in His image. Can you catch that? And what a different person you see. A person walking on the water. A person raising the dead. A person healing the sick. A person speaking the truth. A person standing by his God for everything, isn't it? A person fully dependent on the Lord your God. Isn't that a wonderful person to be? Look at yourself in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a different person you become. What a different person you become. Now in that reality, is the secret of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we are changed. We are transfigured. What does transfiguration mean? We put on light. Whose light? His light. His light. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17 and verse 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Remember what Moses asked for? Can I see your glory or not? Can I see your face? Now what does the New Testament tell us? That the Father of glory gives us that reality through someone called the Lord Jesus Christ. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Who is Him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you receive the knowledge of Him, what happens? Look at verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The King James Version translates that as the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. But whatever the word is, the key word there is enlightened. Put on light. Catch it? Put on light. When you put on light, you have taken possession of something. It's a mystery. It is that hypostasis, okay? The hypostasis of His person and His nature, and it comes into you as light. It is revealed light. Because the revelation is of Him. Can you catch it? What is the Father revealing? The Father is not revealing to you a set of principles. He's revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. Catch it? The Father is not really revealing to you a set of principles. He's revealing to you the Lord Jesus Christ. So that every principle will find its correct context. When you hear a principle, you must relate that principle to Jesus. When you relate that principle to Jesus, then you understand that principle. Because He is the truth. The principle is not the truth. He is the truth. When that principle finds meaning in Him, it is the truth. Catch it? So the Father reveals the Son. He does not reveal anything else. He reveals the Son. And He enlightens your heart and He enlightens your understanding. He gives you light. Now you got to catch it. Every good and perfect gift, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is received from the Father of lights, right? Can you catch it? Now, receive every good thing bestowed, every gift. But every good thing and every gift comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Father is actually revealing Jesus. In Jesus comes every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift. Can you catch it? If you do not see Jesus, the gift will destroy you. Because that gift can only remain in you and be nurtured in you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now how do we keep all that? With your witness. What must your witness be? The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God does not ask you to come before Him sinless, but He asks you to come before Him sincere and truthful, because the sinlessness, He can bring forth that. But the sincerity and the truth has to come from you. If you are sincere and truthful before God, you will grow. It's only a question of time, but you will definitely grow, no matter who you are. That's why simple people grow fastest in the Lord. That's why the most educated people find it the hardest to grow in God. Because they have cultivated through their education the cultured way of lying to themselves. Simple people have no problems looking at Jesus. Because that's the only person they can understand. That's the only person they can see. Teach them about a complex theology and they could not understand that. But they can understand Jesus because they know they need Him. And just in that simple revelation, their lives are changed and their lives are transformed. Our people need Jesus. They don't need more principles. They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus to be alive in their heart. They need to cling to Him. They need to find Him as the rock, the foundation of their lives. They need to find Him as their healer. They need to find Him as their refuge. They need to find Him as their strength. They need to cling to Him. They need to find His heart so that they know that they are loved. Jesus must be there, because without Jesus, what is Christianity? Of what purpose is a set of principles that sound very intelligent and sound like the truth if Jesus is not there inside of them? If Jesus is not being illumined through the principle, of what use is that principle? So the inward witness says that the blood and the water bring Him. You know how to catch this. They bring Him into us. Isn't it amazing? How do you bring a person? Do you catch it? That means everything that comes with meaning into us through the witness of the blood and the water brings Jesus into us, because He makes everything meaningful. He explains everything. John chapter 1 verse 18. Let's look at that. John, Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. He has explained Him. He has explained Him. Catch it? When Jesus comes alive, He explains everything. Who is He explaining? He's explaining the living God to you. He's making the Lord your God alive to you. If you do not know God, what do you know? You know nothing. If you do not know God, you know nothing. But if you know God, you know something, and it can always grow. It will always keep on growing. Nobody can stop it from growing. Because as long as you desire to know Him, it will grow. All it requires is sincerity and truth. It will grow. By itself, it will grow. While you sleep, it will grow. Now, that's how God teaches us. It is not hard to grow in God. If you can just simply understand this, sincerity and truth fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will grow by leaps and bounds. You will move by the Spirit effortlessly. It will all become clear to you. It will become as clear as daylight, because you can see it, because He is the light. Every door that is opened will be right, because He is the door. Every thought, every voice that you hear will be of the shepherd. Because His sheep know His voice. He said so Himself. My sheep know My voice. Now, how do they know His voice? But He makes a declaration. My sheep surely know My voice. There can be no mistake about that. So what is missing? What is missing is the shepherd. When you replace the shepherd with a set of principles, you have missed the whole thing. You cannot hear His voice anymore, because He is a person. And when He leads you, the power of His resurrection will automatically come alive to you, because when He leads you, He comes alive in you. Whenever Jesus comes alive in you, He comes alive in you with resurrection power, because He is the risen Christ. He is the risen Christ. The Christ is the anointed one. Every anointing must manifest with the resurrection power. Otherwise, what anointing is it? And out of that anointing will come life. Resurrection life. Resurrection power must result in life. Life. And life has to be lived. How you speak, how you think, how you act, how you relate to people. Very simple. You can check the witness all of the time. 24 hours of the day, even when you sleep and you have a dream, you can check the witness of the dream. Yes. Correct. Yes. When you get up in the morning, the first thought that comes to your mind will tell you who has been speaking to you while you are sleeping. The Word of God says that God teaches us even when we sleep. God blesses us even when we sleep. God gives to us even when we sleep. Yes. Yes. Now, where is that God? He is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, you cannot find the Father unless you come by me. Unless you come by me. If I am not growing in you, you will never find the Father. Because he can only be seen in me. He can only be seen in me. All right? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the... Very powerful words. Those seven statements of the Lord Jesus Christ describe the entire theme of the Bible. The seven statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine and ye are my branches. Describes the entire scriptures. It describes the entire prophetic word. If you're listening to prophecy that does not stand in those seven statements, it is a lie. It is a lie. Because he is the truth. And anything that does not stand by him is not the truth, no matter how nice it sounds. That's what's supposed to come into your inward witness. Catch it? Your inward witness is meant to realize all seven of those statements. Isn't it awesome? That's the book that I'm writing now, Of His Fullness. And the more I look at it, the more it becomes bigger and bigger. It's amazing how much that God has got for us. Of His Fullness. Can you imagine that? Seven simple statements. And it carries to you the fullness of God. It is amazing. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For all of us. And we will all be growing forever and ever and ever and ever. And the more we find out, the more we are drawn together. It is a revelation of the body of Christ. Amen. The bride of the Lamb. One flesh with him. Amazing. Amazing. That one flesh talks about your witness, isn't it? The two shall become one. Amen. The two shall become one. And you will love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what the husband is going to teach us. That's what our husband is going to teach us for the next 1,000 years, right? After his second coming. How to love him. How to be a wife. How to be a wife. Personal teaching, all right? A lot of things to look forward to, all right? Keep that witness open to the Lord. Remember the 10 virgins? They ran out of oil. Where was the lamp? The lamp of their spirit. The lamp of their spirit was to be kept alive by the oil. Whose oil? Whose oil? The oil of his anointing. Can you catch that? The oil of his anointing. It came from him. It came through his suffering. Amen? So don't forget him. All right? There is prosperity in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that. More prosperity than we have intelligence to understand. But that prosperity must stand in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, it is not prosperity. It is a delusion. It is a delusion. It's a delusion of grandeur, of the flesh. Every law of God must be the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means it must be fashioned in Christ Jesus and it must be brought to life by the Holy Spirit. Two checks. Not just the Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit functions. Otherwise, you can get any kind of vision and you think, this is the Lord talking to me. Is it the Lord talking to you? What is the witness that comes alive to you? Where does Jesus stand after your vision? Where does Jesus stand after your prophecy? What position does he occupy? What does the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, the witness that is inside of you, declare of Jesus? That's how you judge what you have received. Who is being crowned? Are you being crowned or is Jesus being crowned? If you are being crowned, that prophecy is false. That spirit by which you are receiving or whatever you... No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. What is the purpose of the inward witness? To explain God to you. When the blood and the water speak to you, it is God who comes alive to you. So how are you growing as a Christian? In the reality of God. When you pray, is there an intimacy with God? Right? When you open your heart and you pray, is there an intimacy with God? That's a check, right? When you speak the word to someone, who is being glorified? Who is being revealed? Your logic or God's greatness? Your argument or God's greatness? Or God's purpose? Check it. Sometimes we speak and we argue, and we are more interested in winning the argument than in bringing forth the love of Jesus. Amen? So we can check all these things. So the purpose of the inward witness is to explain God to us. The name of God is I am who I am. I am that I am. Who I am tells you who God is. Who God is enables you to stand by all that He is. God is my rock. That means you can stand on Him. Stand on all that He gives you, because He is the rock. God is omnipotent. That means His power will always be made manifest over your life. God is love. His love will radiate everything that you speak and think. He is the righteous one, right? He is righteousness. He is righteous. That means His righteousness will fashion you. That is who He is. All that He is what He functions as. How He comes alive to you as. That is a functional reality. That means through the witness, God wants you to function through Him. To move through Him. Are you with me? To be able to do all things from cooking. Right? If you are a cook. One of the best testimonies I ever heard was that of Brother Lawrence, who was a cook in a monastery. And while everybody else was busy praying, Brother Lawrence was assigned to the kitchen, where he scrubbed the floors, he scrubbed the dishes, and he cooked the meals. But Brother Lawrence was the one whom God took to heaven. He said the Holy Spirit would come to him and take him to heaven. That blew my mind. How holy can you get washing dishes? Are you with me? How holy can you get washing dishes and scrubbing the floor? The other guys were the ones praying, but this guy was going to heaven. Are you with me? That really blew my mind. I mean, how can God be there when this guy is scrubbing pots and pans? Are you with me? But God was there with him. And God revealed himself to him. Are you with me? A lot of our religious concepts that we must be flat on our knees before we can reach God are all not true. That's not to say that there is no time when you're on your knees, okay? That's not what we are saying here. But it means that God can be alive to you all the time. Right? That's the witness. In Him you live, move, and have your being. When you study as a young child, right? You can study by the Lord. Why not? Try it and see. Persevere with it. It will come forth. When it comes forth, you will be amazed at what you have received from Him. All right? How do you draw from Him? Very simple, you remember Him. Right? Every time you remember Him, you are drawing something from Him. Every time you bequeath something to Him and say, Lord, teach me this, make me understand it, enable me to remember this, you are drawing from Him. It's a simple thing. You just ask. Ask and seek. Seek means you must persevere with it. Right? Most people want to pray for 2 seconds and that's about all they want to do. God doesn't like that kind of asking. He wants asking that perseveres with it. Are you with me? What should we first ask for? The name of Jesus. I ask for the name of Jesus as often as I can remember. It's my number one prayer list. It was number one from the day I was born again. I just knew it instinctively. Everything was in the name of Jesus. That was what God put into my heart. And I have kept asking for that for so many years the name of Jesus, and I never get tired of asking for that revelation, because there is so much in His name. So much. It is beyond the fullness of the scriptures. The whole scriptures are just a basic framework for the fullness of the name of Jesus. It's awesome. All right? And the purpose is to explain God. Amen? You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the explanation. When the explanation comes, you will fall in love with Him. That's what it means. How awesome is that explanation? So cultivate it. Cultivate it and see how God grows in you. All right? Why did Jesus go to the cross? Let's see what He prayed for. John 17, verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I manifested thy name. I expressed thy name. How does God express His name to us? How does God express His name to us? Verse 8. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. The Greek word there for words is rhema. For the rhema which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood. They received my words and they truly understood. Verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. Now they have come to know. Where does all this knowing come from? Inside of you. How does rhema come inside of you? Inside of you. How does Jesus manifest the name of God into you, into your witness inside? Are you with me? And it's something that is being done all the time. Look at verse 26. He says, I have made thy name known to them and will make it known. It is a continuing process. I have made it known. I will continue to make it known. Right? I will continue to make it known. And in order to make it known, verse 26 also says, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. Very simple. He says, I will be in them and the love will be the testimony. How do you check the witness that this is happening? Love, yeah? Love. How is the love of God shaping your words, your thoughts, your actions, your relationships? That is how you come to know that Jesus is coming alive in you. He is changing you. Suddenly you have a desire to do something, right? You suddenly have a desire to speak good words. You suddenly, when you at the point of getting angry, there is a check in your spirit that says, why are you getting angry? What do you think you can achieve with it? Correct? There is a check. And when you do get angry, your witness will feel defiled. Have you ever felt that? You finally feel sick. Sometimes you feel like throwing up. Sometimes you feel like as if you want to throw up. But all you did was do something wrong. But the witness inside of you can be as strong as that. It can be so strong that you actually want to throw up. You feel that you have really defiled something. I went to a steak shop, and I loved eating steaks. I ate something that I should not have eaten, in the sense that it was very fatty. At the end of it all, I enjoyed the meal, but at the end of it all, when I came back to my office, I felt like throwing up, and I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? He said, yes. Right? He said, yes, I'm trying to tell you something. All right? You can feel like that. Sometimes you see something and you have thoughts that shouldn't have been there. You feel very guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Your witness feels guilty. You have betrayed someone and he's been there with you. And he knows exactly, this is different, you see. You know, this is trying to cheat someone who is living inside of you. Are you with me? Once you become conscious of that, right? On the other hand, there are also witnesses where your heart sings for joy. Right? He is pleased with you. Right? And it feels good too. And it's awesome. Right? The peace is there, the freedom is there, and you're moving in it, right? All the time. You know it will be fine, even though you don't understand why it should be fine, because everything seems to be going the opposite way. Right? Yet you know in your spirit it will be fine. How do you know? Your witness tells you that. Right? Who is bearing witness to you? That's the Lord telling you, I am well in control of all these things. Are you with me? So, the most practical reality of the Word of God comes alive to you through your witness. There's nothing more practical than your witness. Don't kid yourself. Alright? The witness must express your ministry. The witness must express your preaching. Your witness must express worship to the Lord. Your witness must express your prayer. Prayer is communion. When you pray, you must pray with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, prayer is useless. You must pray with the Holy Spirit. He is there as the helper. He is there as the strengthener. He is there as the intercessor. He is there as a comforter. He is there to give you online answers to your prayer. He is there to lift your prayer up to a different realm. He is there to make your prayer meaningful inside of you. When you pray by the Spirit, your prayer has meaning. It resonates within your witness. It resonates within you. It is alive inside of you. And you know that you are alive to God, and that's an exciting experience. Are you with me? That's what God wants to build into each one of us, that inward witness, right? And that inward witness is of the blood. The blood is a relationship, His love. Jesus loves you. There is no place for guilt inside of that, right? There is always a place for repentance. Repent and carry on, right? Carry on, pursue what God has opened to you. It is not hard to repent once you know how to cling to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it may take a few days, but the repentance will come through and your witness will know it is through, that you are free. How do you know you are free? Your inward witness is free suddenly. When it's free, you know you have overcome, right? You have overcome what was crippling you inside. Are you with me? If you're alive to your witness all the time, you'll be alive to the Lord all the time. When there's darkness, you will know the darkness is around you. Right? You will be driving your car and suddenly, the moment before you are tempted by something, you're already praying in tongues. And then you say, Lord, I prayed in tongues before the temptation came. How did it happen? Your witness was alive to the Lord and it functioned like that. Right? Automatically. It's like autopilot, all right? Coming from your subconscious. Are you with me? That's why Paul says you can pray in the Spirit all the time. How do you pray in the Spirit all the time? Does it mean you go around praying in tongues 24 hours of the day? No. It means that your conscious and subconscious is alive to God. How is your conscious and subconscious alive to God? Through your inward witness. Can you catch it? How? Because of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Why are you alive to the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus is alive in you. Because His blood has cleansed you. Once the blood cleanses you, you can talk to God. Right? Once the water has washed you, you can see God clearly. And once the Spirit has enabled you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can you catch it? And this is what, when you understand the inward witness, everything in Scripture is absolutely practical. Everything in Scripture is absolutely practical. There is no other reality in the world that is more practical than the Word of God. Because once the Word of God comes into your witness, it's going to be practical 24 hours of the day. Now, what on earth do you know that is practical in your life 24 hours of the day? If the Word of God was working in you 24 hours of the day, you will be alive to the anointings of the Lord 24 hours of the day. Jesus Christ was. And if He was, so can you be. Because you are fashioned in His image. Of His fullness you have received. So what is your problem? Our problem is ourselves. We always find the devil as the scapegoat. We lump him with all our sins. We lump the devil with all our sins, and he loves it. Unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What does that mean? You take your sin to God first. When you sin, the first person you address is God. When you sin, the first person you address is God. Because he's the only one whom I know can handle sin. Right or not? I can't handle it. I'm sure you can't handle it any better than me. Certainly the devil can't handle it too. Right? Who is the one who can handle sin? The Lord your God. If your inward witness is alive to the Lord, you just tell him, Lord, I blew it again. This is the 819th time. Let's try again, Lord. But it's not the same way as it was in the first. The 819th time, at least you are right 60% of the way. That's what you got to understand. You may not have got it 100% of the way, but you are through 60% of the way. Fine, let's try it. Maybe in 2001 times, then you will reach the 100% mark. But it's there. That's what you can understand, right? It is there. Why is it there? It is there because God is alive in you. Because He is able to enable you, right? And if He is there to enable you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Right? Don't simply say all those words as empty confessions. Confessions must have conviction. Confessions must have meaning. Meaning in your thoughts, meaning in your desires, meaning in your intents. Alright? So it is very important that we understand that the inward witness belongs to God all the time. Remember, it is His workmanship. Can you catch that? So when you are defiled by darkness, you take it to the Lord because that part of you is meant to be 100% the workmanship of God. If you can understand that, you have no problems anymore. Take it to the Lord. Whatever the sin may be, take it to the Lord. Yeah? Catch it. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And if you can understand that simple thing, that your inward man is meant to be fashioned 100% by God, you are free. You are free. Take it to the Lord. When you say the wrong words to your wife, take it to the Lord. Take your marriage to the Lord. Take your relationship with your son to the Lord. Take your work to the Lord. All right? Do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your witness must be alive to Him. When your witness is alive to Him, you will begin to enjoy your Christian life because you are no longer living alone. Man's greatest problem is loneliness. Man's greatest problem is loneliness. Because in our deepest darkness, we are all alone. Nobody can help us. No matter how much somebody loves you, they cannot get inside of you and help you. Because that's where it hits. Because that's where it hits. But God can get there. And God can change that darkness into light. He is God. He can do all things. And once you can catch the reality that God has opened to us through the witness that is within us, we have an awesome reality. A life that is full, a life that is growing, a life that is continuously developing. Now it is fun to live a day. Because in that day you will go through problems, but through every problem you will discover God. And every problem will open an avenue by which you can see a new facet of God. Now it becomes a challenge to live. It is exciting to live because everything from the smallest word that you say to the smallest thought that you have becomes an experience with God. Can you catch it? And being with God is something that is real all the time. Praise the Lord. All right? Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. And He raised the dead and He walked on water and He prayed. After preaching the whole day, He went and prayed the whole night through. And then He walked on water. Right? Now He did all that. And yet He says, I can do nothing of myself. John 5:19. I can do nothing of myself. Catch the picture. Man was always meant to live through God. From breathing to speaking, to thinking, to acting. Everything is meant to be in God. In Him do you live, move, and have your being. Catch it? In Him do you live, move, and have your being. That is your destiny. Now that is how God blesses us. And that comes out of your witness, all right? So when we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the remembrance of the Lord. Why? Why was Jesus so concerned about us remembering Him? Because that is the witness. That is the fundamental purpose of the witness within you. And as long as you remember Him, you cannot go wrong. As long as you remember Him, no matter where you go, He will come with you. He will be alive to you. It is not that God is not there. He will be alive from inside of you, and you will know it. That's why the early Christians could go through such awesome, terrible times and come forth, and the church was growing. Nobody could stop it from growing. They killed them and they still kept growing. Why was that so? Because Jesus was alive in their hearts. And when Jesus is alive in their hearts, everything is transfigured. When everything is transfigured, you want that reality more than anything else. Because we all need light. We all need a new tomorrow. We need it. Otherwise, we're just going to grow old and step into a coffin. Is that what life is all about? And everything that we have done is also going to go into that coffin. If that is all life is, then we must be the most stupid creatures in the whole universe. What is the biblical definition of a fool? The fool says in his heart there is no God. But what are you saying with your inward witness? My God is with me. He is my rock, and He is my refuge, and He is my strength. He is my life. He is my truth. He is my way. He is the bread of my life. He is my resurrection, and He is my life. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He lives with me. He lives within me. He is alive to me all the time. I remember Him, and as I remember Him, I grow. My life is transformed. I am being transfigured. I am being translated into a new reality. Everything that is within me is alive to Him. He is my God, and He is alive to me. Praise the Lord. Let's read the communion passage, Luke chapter 22. I love this passage. I love this passage because all of Scripture can be explained through this passage. All of Scripture can find a context in this passage. And it's amazing, in seven verses, so much of meaning can be found. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 16. And when the hour had come, He reclined at the table, and the apostles with Him. This was a reality that was there externally, but that same reality exists amongst us from the witness of our heart. Can you catch that? Theologians explain that as the communion of the saints. We can also function in that reality. Are you with me? That the witness inside of us can unite our hearts so that we can function as one body. We can function with different giftings in a unity that is born of the love of God. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus has the 12 apostles with Him. He has the entire church with Him, right? Prophetically speaking. And He says, I earnestly desire. What is Jesus opening to them? His inward witness, right? With fervent desire I have desired. If you're reading a New King James, that's what it's saying. With fervent desire I have desired. That is the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And He's opening that witness to us, and He says, I wish to partake of this Passover with you before I suffer. What is He saying? What I have in my witness will become a Passover to you. What I have in my witness, what I have for you in my person and in my nature, will come inside of you, hypostasis, and it will become a Passover to you. You will receive of me, and you will be translated into a new reality. Catch it? For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Fulfilled. Where is the kingdom of God? Within you and within me and amongst us. Is there a kingdom of God now amongst us? Yes. Is there a kingdom of God amongst us across the world? Yes. Is there a kingdom of God open to the heavenly places? Yes. Because there is a church triumphant that reigns in the heavenly places. So there is a kingdom of God. And where does the, how is that kingdom of God linked from the witnesses that are inside each one of us? And we can function in this kingdom through the witness that is within us. Correct? All right? Okay. There are many realities in that, right? John was taken up to heaven, right? There are angels who minister with certain ministers. How? Through the witness that is within them. They know that they are angels and they can see them or they can sense them, right? Are you with me? Everything is opened, right? Communion of the saints. But this will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, because this is the reality of the kingdom of God. We are not alone. We are one body. We function as one body. And when that, and that reality of functioning in one body comes alive in us, the reality of Jesus Christ is awesome. You can sense it. If you can find one Christian brother whom you can move with in deep communion, you will find that Jesus is alive amongst you. You can sense it. And you can move instinctively in the name of Jesus. And you both know. Now that is the sense of ministry and purpose that we must have as the body of Christ. Now but such a sense must come forth by the work of the Holy Spirit. But such a witness God wants to bring into us. Alright? Okay? Such a witness God wants to bring into us. Then you can function by that witness in everything that you do. The book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says that we can do all things in word and in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. With thanksgiving unto our Father. All things. Alright? That is the reality of the kingdom of God. Verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Share it. Because in sharing it is where you will discover the true riches of the inward witness. If we are selfish and self-centered, self-denominated, we cannot find the treasures of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. What is the fruit of the vine? Wine, isn't it? What does wine represent? New life, isn't it? New kind of life. New kind of life. That is what we are celebrating in Holy Communion. The fact that we are discovering a new life in every moment of time. Verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Given for you. Everything that was in the temple of his body is given to us as a witness. And this witness, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. It is a lifestyle, all right? It is a lifestyle cultivated. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The blood speaks of a witness. In that witness is a covenant. Can you catch that? What you know you have in God is a promise made alive in you. Every word that God brings forth from his living word is meant to form a covenant. Now, covenant is important because God is bound also by the covenant, all right? It is his covenant. He swore the covenant into place through the blood. And the witness of the blood is an oath. It is an oath. Whose oath? God's own oath. Okay? So, take care of that witness in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Don't take the easy way out. And don't think it is a solution. Darkness is never a solution. It may seem difficult to do something. Don't make the wrong choice by turning away from God. Take your inability to do something or your unwillingness to do something to God. Address it with him. I typically address it by just telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do this. You will have to change me so that I will want to do this. I have too many fears. And I don't want to give up these things. So Lord, you change me. Because I don't know how to change myself. Catch it? Easy? That's how I came to love the Lord. 6 months after I was born again, I was praying one day and I said, Lord, you have done many miracles in my life. But honestly, I don't love you. I know I need to love you. Because if I love you, I can do a lot of things, oh Lord. So can you make me love you? He's done it. All right? He's done it. I just woke up one day, 2 years later or something like that, and I said, Lord, I actually love you. That's amazing. How did it happen? It happened. It took 2 years, but it was wonderful. Are you with me? Take it to Him. Right? It's not hard. Praise the Lord. Right? This is my blood in the... This is my blood of the new covenant. Let's pray. Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. And you manifested that everlasting love by sending Jesus into our hearts, Father. You manifest this everlasting love into us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He makes Jesus come alive to us. So that as we taste Jesus more and more, Father, we come to understand, O God, how much you have loved us, Father. And as that witness is fashioned into us, Father, we realize that we can live with you all the time. So, Father, as we celebrate this Holy Communion today, Father, we are celebrating the communion of a witness that you have made alive in us through the blood of Jesus, in the washing of the water of His Word. And you have enabled us by His Spirit. And that Spirit, Father, He consecrated for us in the temple of His body. He suffered to bring forth that Spirit, O Lord, that enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So as we celebrate this Holy Communion, we are celebrating the witness that you are making alive in us and strengthening and fashioning and forming within us. And we are celebrating this communion with gratitude in our hearts, Father. For we are being fashioned so that we can live, move, and have our being in you. As we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we see the excitement of being able to live, move, and have our being in Him and by Him and through Him. And it's exciting, Father. So today we celebrate Holy Communion with joy in our hearts, with excitement and expectancy in our spirits, Father. We ask you, O God, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake of Him in His flesh and in His blood, we will receive of Him in His fullness, Father. That we will come forth, O God, as a living part of His body, expressing His fullness in everything that we do in word and in deed. This is the miracle of life that you have given us. So Father, change us, O God, that we may bless you in a lifestyle lived in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Father, it is written in your word that this is the hidden manna of your name that you are giving us, Father. The bread of the most holy, Father. The bread that brings to us the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that enables us to live, move, and have our being in Him. Father, as we receive the bread of life, Father, we realize, O God, that it is in Him, O Lord, that we are nurtured and we are changed and we are transformed. Bring forth this creative reality into us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, in the blood of Jesus we are washed, O Lord. The blood of Jesus stands over our lives in atoning. As atonement, Father. It stands as a testimony that we are loved, Father. It stands as a testimony, O God, that we belong to you, Father. The blood witnesses to us, O God, the fact that we shall live forever, Father. The blood is life to us. The blood is a witness alive within us. In the water of the Word, the blood finds a purity of the witness within us, Father. And so as Jesus Christ our Lord comes alive in us, Father, we pray that in the witness of the blood and the water, we will come to know Him and to love Him. We will come to do all things by His name. We ask You to work this miracle of life into us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we please stand? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you truly discover the treasures of the Father's name, open to your witness in the love of Jesus. May you truly come to taste and see that the Lord your God is good, and may the Holy Spirit bring forth the treasures of His heart into your life, that you may truly cherish the Lord your God with all of your being. May you come to understand the witness that God has opened into you as a treasure that is alive in the name of Jesus. May you truly understand that in that witness comes the name of Jesus, the name by which you can do all things, the name by which you can ask for anything, the name by which you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Go forth in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be blessed in the awesome wonder of His beauty and excellence. May all things that He does in your life come forth in Jesus' name forever and ever. Amen.